Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Metzia Daf Tzadi Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the Mishnah that you will find 5 lines from the top of Daf Tzadi Beis. Before we begin the actual text, we glance at the side in the margin where we have our No Say topic heading, which reads, Ad kama mutar lepoya lechol. Up till how much is a worker entitled to eat? This, of course, is a continuation of the topics we've been discussing in our recent shiurim. The Torah entitles a worker to eat, of course, given certain conditions, to eat from that which he is working on. So now our Mishnah. Oichel poyel kishus afilu bedinar. A worker can eat kishus, a type of vegetation, even a dinar's worth. Kosevis, the afilu bedinar. Kosevis is a date, even a dinar's worth. A dinar is a denomination of currency. Rebbe Lozer Chasma Omer, lo yochal poyel yeser al schoro. Rebbe Lozer Chasma holds that a worker is not entitled to eat more than the amount he is being paid for his services. V'chachomim matirin. The Chachomim allow the worker to eat more than he is being paid. Avol melamdin es ha'odom. We, however, teach the person, Sheloyeh Ravson v'yesoysem es ha'pesach b'fonav. He should not be ravenous and eat a lot, which would thereby deter employers from hiring them. So that take the advantage that one that a worker might take in eating more than his wages might lead to them not being hired to begin with. The Gemara asks, Chachomim hainu tanakamo. The Chachomim in the Mishnah, the third opinion, seems to be saying the same thing as the first opinion, that it is mutter to eat more than you are being paid for. The Tanakama that said that he can eat kishus, even a dinar's worth, the assumption is that a dinar is considerably more than the worker is being paid for his services. So is it not so then that the Chachomim in the Mishnah, the third opinion and the first opinion, are one in the same? And we know that that cannot be. After all, if that was, there would be no need to have a third opinion presented. The Gemara answers, and you'll notice we have a house marking, and on the side under the Nosei / Mivneh topic, Mivneh is the structural note. We've highlighted the expression Iko Binayu. These are Hevdelim, Bein Hatanakamo L'Chachomim Mishloseinu, differences between that first and third opinion in the Mishnah. So we continue in the Gemara. Iko Binayu Avol Melamdin. The expression Avol Melamdin you saw in the third opinion of the Mishnah as an expectation on the part of those in charge to teach people not to eat so much. L'Tanakama Les Le Melamdin. The Tanakama doesn't hold that there's an expectation of the public leaders or the courts to teach workers to limit their consumption. Le Rabbanan, that's the third opinion in the Mishnah, is Lehum Lamdan. They do hold from that approach that though, technically speaking, it's mutter, it's allowed to eat more than your wages, nevertheless, we try to encourage workers to curtail their food consumption during their work. Iboyesemo, Iko Binayu, Doravasi. Another approach is that the point of difference between the Tanakama and the Chachomim is the teaching of Ravasi. Dioma Ravasi, Afilu lo sochroi elo livtsor eshkoil echod oichloi. Ravasi says that even if a worker was hired for the purpose of harvesting one cluster of grapes, after all, he is working on that one cluster of grapes, he is entitled to eat it. That, by the way, is the first of two teachings of Ravasi. There's going to be now a second teaching, V'omer Ravasi. He says, Afilu lo botsar elo eshkol echor ochlo. He was hired for a full day of work, but he didn't manage to harvest more than one cluster of grapes. He's entitled to eat that. We'll go over this in a minute. These two rulings seem to be saying the same thing, and the Gemara will analyze the difference between them and why I need to be taught these two points. But in the meantime, let's go back to the first appearance of Ravasi. We said the difference between the first and third opinions in the Mishnah is Ravasi's teaching that a worker who was hired to harvest one cluster of grapes, he can in fact eat that. Now, let's take a look at the Rashi. We have a little star in the Rashi commentary helping you to enable it to help you find it a little easier. And a few lines up from here in the Rashi. Tanakamo is le de Ravasi. The first opinion in the Mishnah holds from Ravasi. V'hochi komar poel ochel kishus shehi levado. A worker can eat a singular kishus v'einod, and there are no others. Vafilu hi shava dinar, and even if it happens to be worth a dinar, so the worker is entitled to eat that. What Rashi continues to do is presents the other two opinions for a, let's say, a presentation of all three Mishnah opinions. Viyosa Rebbe Lozer lemeima, Rashi continues, and Rebbe Lozer Chasmo comes to say, bein shehi levado, bein shesochroi lo ulechaveri seho, whether it is a singular kishus or he was hired for it and others, im shove yoiser al schoro lo yochleno, if it's worth more than his wages, he's not entitled to eat it. V'yosu rabbonin basroi lemeimar, yoiser al schoro muter hu lechol. In principle, a worker is allowed to eat more than the value of his wages, im sochir yom hu, if he was hired to as a day worker. Avol sochru l'hakishus levado, less lehud Ravasi. If, however, he was hired for, not as a day worker, but as a, we'll say, a piece worker, namely, to work on that one, to harvest that one cluster of grapes, or that one kishus, then the Rabbonin Basroi, the second Rabbonin opinion, in our mission of the number three opinion, will prohibit the worker from eating that one cluster that he was hired to harvest. And again, the first opinion says, even in that case, the worker is allowed to eat from it. Now, we had another teaching of Ravasi. Let's go back to our Gemara text. The Omar Ravasi, this is the second teaching of Ravasi. Here, he was hired as a day worker. And he wasn't very productive. Rashi says, "Afilu lo botzar, sochro lechol ayom, muter lechol leeshkol rishon shebotzar." He's entitled to eat that first cluster that he harvested. And let's go back to the Alfi Gemara. V'yomer Ravasi, "Afilu lo botzar elo eshkol echod ochlo." Once again, he was hired for a full day of work, and he, according to the words of the Gemara, he's really harvested only one cluster that whole day. He's entitled to eat it. Utsricha. And I need these two teachings of Ravasi. Notice we have a long marking, a long point. And all of these lines of the Gemara are designed to point out why I need these two teachings of Ravasi. The Iyashmina Hachkamaisa, had we been taught the first, what we call the Aleph point, the first point of Ravasi, Mishum de lo iko lemesav lekelov shel balabayas. Since he was hired for only one cluster, he wasn't hired for a whole day, he was hired for one cluster, there is nothing other than that one cluster that is anticipated to be put into the vessels of the owner, the vessels that the owner has to collect his harvest. So since he was hired only for one cluster, and there isn't any, there aren't any additional clusters vis-a-vis this particular worker to put into the vessel of the owner. So in a case like that, we say, okay, if that's the situation, the worker eats that cluster. He's entitled to eat that cluster. However, where he is hired, let us say, for a whole day of work, and there are other clusters there, and as such, there are clusters that are to be put in the owner's vessels, I would have thought the procedure is like this. Amah, maybe we would say, Lasev Beresha, that the first cluster must be put into the vessels of the owner who's trying to collect his harvest. V'hoder lechol, and only afterwards would the worker be allowed to eat. Now we don't say that, but that's what I would have thought. And if you go back to the Rashi we read rather briefly, you'll see how significant that Rashi is. Rashi, afilu lobotzar, I'm reading the Rashi again, just a couple lines up. Sochro lechol hayom, muter lechol, lo eshkol rishon shebotzar. Notice that word rishon that Rashi uses. He's allowed to eat that first, the first cluster that he harvested, in light of this Gemara, even though there are other clusters, and one might have thought that he has to first put into the vessels of the balabayas of the owner before he, the worker, can eat. We see that we don't say that. And rather, the worker is entitled to eat the first of the clusters that he harvests, even if in the eventuality he doesn't harvest anymore. And had we taught you the second teaching of Rav Asi, namely that he's allowed to eat the first cluster that he harvests, why will we allow that? The efshur lekumi lebesof, because he can fulfill putting into owner's vessels later on. There's the potential for that. Avol heichad olo efshur lekumi lebesof, but where you can't fulfill that later. For example, if it was hired to harvest only one cluster, Amalo, I would have thought maybe there the worker's not entitled to eat, because you've got now a worker that's not going to be fulfilling what the Torah expects, namely that you should, while harvesting, you put in the owner's vessels. Tzricha, therefore, in addition to point Bays, the second Ravasi, we have to teach you the first Ravasi as well. That's what we need. Tzricha, we need both teachings. Eboyes Amah, here we're at a third point of difference between the Tanakama and the Chachomim in the Mishnah. Notice, by the way, another long marking. So we need all of these lines to develop the point of difference. So the Gemara says, Iko binayu de Rav, the point of difference will be the teaching of Rav. The Omar Rav. Motsosi Megillas Storim Bei Rabbi Chiya, I found in a Megillas Storim, without getting into details what that is, we'll simply say a private notebook that I found in the Yeshiva of Reb Chiya, the Kosuv Bo. And in this private notebook, it said, Isi ben Yehuda Oimer, ki savoy bekerem reyacha. The posuk here is, of course, the posuk we've seen many times in recent Dapim, the posuk that entitles a worker to eat from that which he's working on. And the teaching that Isi ben Yehuda says, Bevias kol odom hakosuv medaber. Literally translated, it means upon the entrance of anybody, even someone who's not a worker, anyone can walk into a field and eat. That would be the literal translation. V'yomar Rav, and regarding that, Rav reacted, Lo shovak isi chaye l'chol beria. Isi doesn't leave chaye, in income, livelihood for any barrier, for any creature, meaning any owner. Imagine you have a field, and Isi's teaching is saying anyone can come in and eat your produce. How will you gain a livelihood? Omar Ravashi, Amrisa Lishmaitso Kamei de Rav Kahana. Ravashi says, I said this teaching over to Rav Kahana, Omar Lee, And he said, he reacted, Dilma be'oisin b'sudasan di'avdu v'achlu. The pasuk isn't referring to just anyone coming off the street and eating from your produce, but it means people who come in and work in exchange for their meals. In other words, people that will work your field and not get a salary, not get a fee, but rather in exchange for their work, they will get food. They'll eat for their food. In other words, they'll work for their food. That is, we'll say, a reasonable explanation. For whatever reason, Rav himself didn't raise that possibility. Or we should say that even with that possibility in mind, Rav still reacted the way he did. So how do you explain Rav's, urgent and violent reaction against the teaching? Rav, afilu hachi, even an arrangement like that is not to the liking of the owner. Afilu hachi nicholei l'inish loga aguri, v'niktefe l'pardisei. A person, a landowner, a producer of crops, would rather hire workers for pay, that's oigur aguri, hire workers for pay, v'niktefe, and harvest their pardesa, their fields, v'lo nesu kule alma v'ochlule, and not just anyone coming off the road, walking into the field, doing the picking, doing the harvesting, albeit in exchange for his food. Now we said that this point, in other words, Rav's objection to just anyone coming in will be the point of difference. And as we have two Tanoim in our Mishnah, a first and third opinion, one of them will hold that it's okay to have just anyone come in and work the field in exchange for eating, in other words, no salary, but yes, getting getting his food, getting his eating from the crops he's working on as his pay. And there is the other Tana that will hold like Rav and saying that's unacceptable. Who holds what? So now we look into the Rashi. The Rashi that we'll look at together, we have a double star, hopefully making it a little easier to find it in the middle of the Rashi, a little more than halfway down the Rashi column. Tanakamo les le de Isi. That means the first opinion in the Mishnah does not hold from Isi. Isi is the opinion, as Rav Kahana explained, the approach of people coming to work for their meals. So the Tanakamo les le de Isi, the ha oichel poyel kotoni. And we dashed underline in the Rashi, as you can see, the word poil. The Tanakama makes an allowance for eating only to a worker, an official hired paid worker. For Abona Basoi Isluhu the Isi, and the second, I should say number, the third opinion, which is the second Rabbonan opinion, the Chachomim in the Mishnah, say that that is an okay arrangement. The Hochi Komar, V'chachomim matirin le'echol yoyisrael schoro. The chomim allow one to eat more than his wages. And the basis of that is that we find lav sochir nami ochil. Even a non-hired worker is eating. So the non-hired worker is eating more than his wages. He's not getting any wages. So he's eating more than his wages. So a hired worker would also be entitled to eat more than his wages. So just to review, the Tanakama, the first opinion, does not make an allowance for people to come off the road, work a field, and in exchange for their work, eat, work for their food, work for their meals. The Rabbanan Basrai hold, yes, that's okay. Now, we turn back to our Gemara. You'll notice we have a slash mark indicating that which follows is a new train of thought. As you can see, we have a slash mark. indicating the following is a new trend of thought. And we also have a firebox, a marking which indicates that the issue at hand will preoccupy us for quite a while. On the side of the Gemara, under our nosei, our topic heading, we've written that this is Ad Tzadi Gimel Amud Aleph, means we have, as we said, a long topic ahead of us, and we have written Achilas Poyel Mishalahu Eichel Oy Mishel Shamayim Hu Eichel. The entitlement that a worker enjoys to eating while working on produce, is that Mishalo? And Rashi explains, is it a form of let's say addition to his salary, to his wages, that the Torah entitles him to receive? Or is it Mishel Shamayim, meaning it's an entitlement from heaven? Rashi describes this as an entitlement no different than tithes that the Torah entitles the poor to receive. Mishalo, as we said, we took this from Rashi, is Tosefes Schar Shehosifa Lo Torah. It's an addition to his wages that the Torah says a worker is entitled to receive. Beis Mishel Shamayim B'matnas Gemilas Chasodim. It's a gift of kindness. Kishar Matnas Aniyim, like other tithes given to the poor. Nafkamina, the difference between these two points of analysis is Im Omar, if the worker were to say, Tenu li'ishti ubonai, give the food that I am entitled to eat to my wife and son, my wife and child. Is that a possibility? So if you say that it's Mishelo, it's considered his, like his wages are his, the food entitlement is his. He can do with it what he wants. He can say, instead of my eating it, give it to my wife and child. If, however, you classify it as Mishel Shamayim, it's a special entitlement given to the worker, it's only to the worker. He cannot redirect it to family members. Now the Gemara. And we open with this as a long question. Ibayaloho, Poyel, Mishalohu Oichel, Oy Mishel Shamayim Hu Oichel. We already explained the two possibilities. Lamai Nafka Mina, what difference does it make how you analyze it? The Omar, and it would be in a case where he says, Tanu, give that which I would eat, Lishti Ubonai, to my wife and children. If you say that the worker eating entitlement is an extension of his wages, then we would give it to them, just like he can redirect his wages, money that he is going to get paid. He can say, give my wages to so-and-so. Likewise, the food that he would eat, he could redirect it to others. However, if you say it's a special entitlement that a worker has from heaven, then the result will be different. L'didei zochi le'rachmona, the Torah grants him the right, the privilege. L'ishto vonav lo zochi le'rachmona, the Torah did not grant the privilege of eating to the worker's wife or children. It's a privilege to the worker. My. So what is the final outcome? What's the final ruling? We say final, but till we get to something final, we're going to have to go through quite a bit of Gemara. So you'll notice we have a new marking, a volcano shape appears. And on the side of the Gemara, under our Mivneh, our structural note, we indicate that this will highlight the expression Toshma. Lohiach. The Mishel Shamayim, with the narrow part of the volcano facing up, will be trying to show that the worker food entitlement is Mishel Shamayim. We're going to see as we go on in the Gemara, we'll see also a dashed volcano shape that will be Laharoi Shu Machlokes Tanoim. It'll be an attempt to show that the issue is a Machlokes Tanoim, is a Tanaic controversy. And when we eventually run into an inverted volcano shape, and you'll see that happens at the top of Omid Beis. We've also numbered these attempts as we go along. That will appear at number 7. You'll see an inverted volcano shape that will represent Lochiach de Michelot, an attempt to show that the food entitlement is something that is viewed as simply an extension of his wages. And now we look into the Gemara. Toshma, we're at volcano number 1. Oichel Poyel, Kishus Afilu B'dinar, Kaisevus Afilu B'dinar. Of course, this is from our Mishnah. A worker is entitled to eat a Kishus, even if it's a dinar, a date, even if it's a dinar. And that, even if it's a dinar, is indicative of that's a value more than he is getting paid. If you were to say that it's an extension of his wages, could it possibly be really understood that way? That his wages, he's hired and he's paid a danka. A danka literally is a sixth. It's a sixth of a dinar. And he's going to eat a full dinar. Zuzah is a dinar. A full dinar worth of food. Is it shayach? Is it logical to think that the extension to the wages is an amount greater than the wages themselves? That's not logical. So that would lead us to believe that the entitlement is not a function of a wage extension, but it's something else. It's a heavenly entitlement. So then, what does that leave you saying? Michel Shomayim Hu Ochel, that it's an entitlement that he has from on high, from heaven. Self, still the same, we'll say, logical problem arises. Oiger Bedanka Ochel Bezuza, he's hired and paid a sixth of a dinar. Is it likely to conclude that he would be allowed to eat a full dinar worth of food? Elo my isloch lememar. So, what is there for you to say? If you want to say it's Michel Shemaim, what are you going to say? Rachmona zochile. The Torah grants him, even if it doesn't strike the chord of pure logic. Nevertheless, the Torah grants him the right. Hachanami, I could argue likewise from the standpoint of Mishelo Ochel. Rachmona Zochile, the Torah entitles him to that. So it's true that logically it doesn't sit that well with us, but it's a Torah permission, a Torah privilege that a worker has, and beyond that, we don't ask questions, so to speak. It doesn't have to sit well with our simple logic. Ta Shma. Rebbe Lozer Chasma Oimer, Lo Yochal Poyel Yoiser Al Schoro V'Chachomim Matirin. This too is a quote from the Mishnah, where Rebbe Lozer Chasma said a worker is not allowed to eat more than his wages, and the Chachomim allow it. My La, B'Hokum Iflegi. Is it not so that this is their point of disagreement? The Mor Sovar Mishalohu Ochel, Rebbe Lozer Chasma holds that it's an extension of his wages. Therefore, he shouldn't eat more than he's getting paid. As we said, it's not reasonable to conclude that the extension of his wages would be greater than his basic wages. Umar Sover, Michel Shemaim Ochel, and the Chachamim are of the opinion that he's eating because of a special privilege granted from heaven. So, if we were to stop here, we would then tell you that the issue of Mishelohu Ochel, Mishel Shemayim Ochel, is a Machlokes Tanoim. The Gemara, though, continues, Lo, that's not so. De Kule Alma Mishelohu Ochel. Everyone is in agreement that it's considered like the food consumption is an extension of his wages. It's a it's something that he earns, so to speak. It's his own. V'ha'cha, and the difference here, we have a machlokes rules of chasman the chachamim. What are they arguing about? If you're going to say that everyone holds mishilo ha'ochel, so then what are they arguing about? V'ha'cha be'kinaf shecha komifliki. Their argument is how to define the word kinaf shecha that you see in the pasuk. Or what does kinaf shecha teach me? It's worth noting, we have a little quote of the pasuk that we've written in our Gemara, in our marked Gemaras, and the star note in the margin reads, Dvarim Chof Gimel Pasuk Chof Hei. It says, Ki Savo Bekerem Reecha V'ilhav L'Novim Kinaf Shecha. And there we've got the word Kinaf Shecha. Savecha V'alkelecha Lo Sitein. What does Kinaf Shecha teach me? So the Gemara says it's regarding kenaf shecha komiflugi that our Tanoim are arguing. More savar kenaf shecha bedavar shemoiser nafsho alav. More savar kenaf shecha that kenaf shecha teaches me something else. Let us take a look before we go any further in the Rashi. What does it mean when the Gemara says kenaf shecha bedavar shemoiser nafsho alav? So the Rashi says, "V'ochalto kinafshecha, b'dovar sh'ata moiser nafshecha alav." You're eating from that which you are literally risking your life over. Lalos b'kevesh v'lalos b'ilan, a worker who's hired to pick crops. He often climbs a tree, reaching significant heights. A very dangerous situation. If a man falls from that height, he's as good as dead. The Moiser Nafshu L'Misa, he's risking his life to the point of possible death. V'hainu Schoro, his risk of his life is to receive wages. So that in that sense, he is, we should have pointed out maybe a little earlier, but Rashi on the Mishnah, this is the best time to point it out. Four lines from the very top, Lo Yoichal Poel Yoisur Al Scharo. The Rav Lozer Chasma taught that a worker is not entitled to eat more than his wages. The Kaman Yolef Mi Kenaf Shecha. Later, as we just read in the Rashi in the lower part of the page, Rashi says later this will be derived Mi Kenaf Shecha. B'schi Rousseau, he's eating as part of his wages. Shemoiser nafsho olav lalois beilon o b'mokam sakona. So the word kenafshecha equals schi Rousseau. A person is risking his life for his wages. So now, if you take that analysis and plug it back into the pasuk, and it says v'yochalto anovim kinafshecha, you're entitled to eat corresponding to your wages, because we said that the word kinafshecha is interchangeable with wages. So if you made it, let's say an equation, nafshecha means your life, you are willing to risk it for your wages, and corresponding to your wages is the amount of food you're allowed to eat. In other words, up till the value of your wages. So that would be the approach taken by Rebbe Elazar Chasma. And then you have the other opinion that darshans the pasuk, as the Ritva points out. He doesn't use it for that. So therefore, that other opinion will be the opinion of the Chachomim Basroi, that say you are, the opinion of the Chachomim will say you can eat more than your weight. You can eat more. But as far as the issue that concerns us, Mishalohu Ochel, Mishal Shamayim. So at this point in the Gemara, we're saying everyone holds Mishalohu Ochel. It's an entitlement that is granted to the worker as an extension of his wages. And the issue is, how much is extended to his wages? Is it just the amount corresponding to his wages, or is it unlimited? And that's the unlimited approach is that second opinion in how to darshan kenafshecha. And well, I want to emphasize here, it's not that he sees his opinion from the word kenafshecha. He uses kenafshecha for something else, and that's what you see on this third wide line of Gemara, ma nafshecha im chasamta poter, af poyol im chasamta poter. Just like yourself, if you were to muzzle, you as the owner of the field were to muzzle yourself up and work, it's you're not in violation of any sin. So too, if you were to muzzle up the worker and he would work in a muzzled fashion, you wouldn't be in violation of any sin. In the case of an animal, on the other hand, that's threshing grains, you could not muzzle it while it's threshing. Toshma. Here we're at our third attempt, once again, to show that the worker entitlement is Mishel Shamayim. This brief source deals with a worker who happens to be a nozir that's working on a vineyard. Now, a nozir is someone who accepted a vow upon himself of Nazariteship, and that entails the prohibition of consuming grape products, including wine, and hence, the nozir who is working on a vineyard is obviously not going to be entitled to eat from that which he is working on. And it says here, nozir shomar tnu liishti ubonai ein shoymin lo. The nozir who instructs the balabayas to give the food that he otherwise would have eaten to his wife and children, we don't cooperate with him. We don't heed his request. The Amris Mishalohu Ochel, if worker entitlement was an extension of his wages, then Mamai Ein Shomino, why would we not listen to him? The Gemara answers, it might very well be that worker entitlement is Mishalo, is an extension of his own wages. However, Hossam, in the case of the Nozir, we don't want the Nozir to be involved with working in a vineyard on the first place. Mishum lech lech amrin nazira schor schor lekarma lo sikrav. We say to the Nozir, go away. Schor literally means around. Don't enter the vineyard. Don't get near the vineyard. If a nozir has to, let us say, get from one place to another, and a vineyard is on the way, we would tell the nozir, take the long route around. Don't cut through the vineyard. So, in simple words, as Rashi says, this is a fine that we impose upon the nozir for having accepted work in the vineyard on the first place. We don't want him to work a vineyard, and in order to emphasize our objection, we say that even though a regular worker might be able to redirect his food allowance to his wife and children, not so in your case. Ta Shema, a fourth attempt to show that it's Mishel Shamayim, not Mishelo. Poyel shomar tenu liishti uvonai ein shomin lo. A worker that says, give my food allowance to my wife and children, we don't heed his request. V'yamris mishalohu ochel amai ein shomin lo. And if we say that his entitlement is an extension of his wages, it's his own, so to speak, why would we not heed his request? The Gemara says, this is not conclusive. My poyel nozir. The word poyol here is really the reference to the case of the nozir before that we already explained our resistance to his request is a function of a knas. a fine that we impose upon him specifically, not something characteristic of workers in general. V'ha tanya nozir, v'ha tanya poyel. How can you say that poyel is a nozir when we have nozir taught separately? So the poyel must be a general poyel, a general worker. The Gemara responds, midi gabi hadodi tanyon. Are these two examples taught in the same source that would have entitled you to say that a poyel is not a nozir? They're not taught in the same Tanaic source. There are two separate Tanaic sources. And as such, in one source, the word nozir is spelled out, and in the other source, which is a separate source, the word poyel appears, but it might be a reference to a nozir. Only when the two are taught in the same source, the word poyel and nozir, in the same Tanaic source, then we would say that they are contrasting terms, that one could not mean the other. But when they're in two separate Tanaic sources, in one source, nozir is spelled out. In the other source, the word poyel is a reference to a nozir. But a worker in general, it might very well be that if he says, give my food allowance to my wife and children, we would listen, we would cooperate, because it could be mishalohu ochel. So far, inconclusive. Ta shma. Number 5. Minayin lepoyel shomar. From where do we know a worker who says, tenu liishti ubonai, give my food allowance to my wife and children, she'ein shomen lo, we do not heed his request. Shenemar. The pasuk says, ve'el kelyucha lo sitein. The Pasuk says, and you shall not place the food that you're working on into your vessels. V'chitema hachinami nazir. So if you'll say that this Tanaic source, which speaks of the poyel, is also a reference to a nazir, making it a specific source, of a specific ruling that we don't give it to his wife and children as per his request, but in general we would, if it were another kind of worker, well then, if that's the case, if this source is referring to nozir, then why would the pasuk be cited, mishum el kel yecholo sitein? Is that the reason not to give it to his the worker's wife and children? Mishum lech lech amrin nazirahu. The reason we don't give it to the nozir's wife and children is because of the fine that we indicated earlier, where we want to keep a nozir away from the vines. But the source didn't say that as the reason. The source, the Tanaic source, cited the pasuk of El Kelyecholo Sitein as the source. So apparently we're not dealing with the case of the nozir. The Gemara responds, in hachi nami. In fact, we are talking about the nozir. The aidi dekotoni lo baloshon poyel, since the source, in referring to the nozir, used the word poyel, meaning worker, but it's not a reference to all workers. Again, it's speaking only about the nozir, but since the source chose the word poyel, worker, kanosif lo kro de poyel, the source cited the pasuk that has relevance to workers in general. But that's the citation of the pasuk, since we are dealing only with the nozir. As Rashi says, the pasuk is a mere asmachta b'alma. It's not the actual source for our not heeding his request, but it's an asmachta, a type of memory device to enable you to remember that there is a prohibition, but not because of the pasuk, but rather it's a rabbinic prohibition, as we indicated before, the fine that we describe by the catchphrase lech lech, the catchy sounding phrase lech lech amrin naziros hor shor lekarmel letikrov, go O nozir, roundabout, do not get near the vineyard. Toshma, hasoicher sapoyel, litzois b'teinim, a person who hires a worker for this procedure called liktsois betentenem, or figs. What's liktsois? Rashi says liabshin besode lasis ktsios. He's hired to dry out the figs to eventually make from them ktsios, which are, we'll call them, cakes of pressed figs. So one who hires a worker for that purpose, we continue at the top of Omid Beis. Hare ze oichel hu poter min hamaiser. He is entitled to eat from them. Rashi says, since they haven't reached their final stage of production, he's setting out these detached figs for drying purposes, and there's an additional stage of production. Hence, we refer to this as lo nigmara malachton, and that is what a worker is entitled to eat when it's lo nigmara malachton betolush. So he's allowed to eat upoter mina meiser, and he's exempt from tithing. Al menas sha'ochal ani uvonai, o sheyochal bini beschori. If a worker says, states as a condition, that on condition that I and my children eat, or that he says that my children shall eat in exchange for the wages that were set for me, who oichel upoter uvena oichel v'chayev. Given those circumstances, the worker eats, and from what he eats, he doesn't have to tithe. But from what his children eat, they do have to tithe. The iamris mishelohu oichel, if you say that the food entitlement is something that is viewed as an extension of his wages, b'no amai chayav, why would his son be obligated in the tithing? Let's look now together in the Rashi commentary, starting from the top of the page. We said already, Hareza Eichel Upoter, we read this before, the Kevon de Oindis Luxeis Lo Nigmar Malachton, Ani Uvni. Now, the child here, She'eno Niskar Lebalabayas. In the case of this source, the son is not hired for the purpose of working. The son is brought along here, so to speak, by the father, who is a worker who was hired, and this father worker wants his son to eat also. Rashi continues, O almanas shiocha b'ni b'schori shekatsats doli, or he says, on condition that my son will eat instead of the wages that you fixed for me. Rashi continues, Hu oichel upoter, shatora zichsolo kalekut shikho peyov tshpumer az meiser. The Torah entitles him to eat like a poor man has an entitlement to eat from these various poor tithes, which are called lekut shikho peyo, which are in fact exempt from tithing. So the worker entitlement to food is like them, and hence he, regarding that which he, the worker, eats, is exempt. Rashi continues, B'noi oichel v'chayav b'maiser. The son is obligated to tithe before he eats. D'havi leik loikeach mekach shelo nigmar malachto. And we say that the son's eating is like a purchase of produce that didn't reach gemar malacha. And we've learned in the past that even though it hasn't reached Gemar Malacha, final stage, but the fact that it was transacted, the fact that it was part of a mekach, a purchase, so to speak, in this case, a form of transaction where the worker stipulated with the balabais, I want my son to also eat from it, so that's a form of mekach vis-a-vis the son, who was not a hired worker, that obligates the food that he, the son, eats to be tithed. Rashi continues, with all of that having been, we'll say, explained, what about Mishalo? V'i amris Mishalo hu oichel, uschoroi hu. if you say that the food that the worker is entitled to is like an extension of his wages, ve'afilu hochi patre rachmona mi kenafshecha, and even so, the Torah exempts tithing from kenafshecha. The Darshinon lay, we explain it, ma nafshecha eichel upoter af poel eichel upoter, just like yourself, when you eat from produce before the Gemar Malacha, you can eat, before the final stage of production, you can eat without tithing. So too, the worker is entitled to eat without tithing. Beno amai chayav. Why, in this source, is the son obligated to tithe? Ho bischar oviv hu oichel ke oviv. Did we not say, in the example, in the source where the father of the worker, that is the father, who is the worker, said, I want my son to eat bischari in lieu of my wages. So, if you say mishalohu ochel, the food is an extension of the father's wages. And we said that the father is exempt based on the drosha of kenafshecha. So, just like the father is exempt from tithing, because if you say, of course, Mishelo Ochel, the food is an extension of his wages, when the son eats that which is in lieu of the father's wages, the son should be exempt from having to tithe. So at this point, it would appear then that the son's, that the food entitlement that the father is transferring to his son is Mishel Shamayim, is not Mishelo. And because of that, the son has to tithe that which he eats. The Gemara says, not so. Omar Ravina says that here, since a specific condition was made, Mishum Demechsi Kemekach, it appears like a transaction. That's as far as that which the son eats. But his own eating, which was not a function, the father, who's the worker, his own eating, which isn't a function of some type of special clause or condition, but rather it's an entitlement he has automatically, it doesn't look like a mekach, it doesn't look like a transaction. And as a result, it could very well be that the food is mishelo, and yet the father is exempt. Only the son is obligated, because merci kemekach, it looks like a transaction. And we said before that transactions have the power of establishing the need for tithing. Ta shma. Now, we mentioned in our introductory remarks, here we notice the inverted volcano shape. Here the direction will be to show that it is mishelo who ochel. Ta shma hasoiches apoyel lasois benetaravai shaloi hare elu lo yochlu. A worker was hired to work netaravai. Those are fruit trees in their fourth year of life. Those fruits are, when harvested, are to be brought to Yerushalayim and eaten there. And as a result, the workers are not to eat while they are working, because they need to be brought into the walls of Jerusalem. As Rashi says, they need choma. And those laws are derived through a gezeira shava from Meiser Sheni. So the workers should not eat from the trees that they're working on outside of Yerushalayim. V'im lo hoydiyam, if the owner did not inform them that you're going to be working on neta ravai, so poide umachilon, the owner shall redeem the fruits, and the sanctity, which is the basis of their needing to be eaten in Jerusalem, their sanctity is transferred onto the money. That's what we call redemption, onto the money, podeh, and machilon, and he they are there, thereby entitled to eat from the from those fruits of the fourth year. The I amris mishal shemaim hu echel. If you say that the whole concept of worker food entitlement is mishal shemaim, hamai poidu machilon. Why is there any need for the balabayas to concern himself with the redemption of the fruits and the worker thereby being able to eat from them? Isura lo zochi lehu rachmona. That which is prohibited isn't something that the Torah entitled the worker to in the first place. If you say Mishel Shamayim Ochel, there was no expectation on the part of the owner to worry, to concern himself with redeeming the fruits and entitling the worker to eat from them. So if you accept the understanding of Mishel O Hu Ochel, then this ruling makes more sense. And why is that? Because that which a worker is entitled to eat is in effect an extension of his wages. And since it's something due to him like his wages, the owner has to take, extra steps or preventive measures in order to prevent the worker from violating eating the fruits outside of Jerusalem. The Gemara responds, from here you cannot say conclusively that it's Mishalo. Hosom, there, Mishum de Merci Kemekach Tois. It appears to us as to be a contractual work agreement under mistaken assumptions. And if the owner would have told them that it's fruit of the fourth year, they wouldn't have agreed to work in the first place. So since the owner did not inform them of it, he must take preventive measures and redeem it. But again, this does not show us that worker food entitlement is something that's viewed as simply an extension of his wages. We continue with number 8, Amor Seifa. This is a continuation of the source that we just finished in number 7. It says in the Seifa, Nisparsu Igulov, an owner that had pressed figs, and they came apart. They dispersed. Nispatchu Chovyosov, his barrels of wine, their seal broke open. So he's hiring workers for repressing the figs into fig cakes. Hiring workers to reseal wine barrels. Hare elu lo yochlu. Workers under these circumstances are not entitled to eat from that which they're working on. A worker is not entitled to eat from those products that reached their gemar melocha for maestris. That means they reached their final stage of production, at which point tithing becomes obligatory. These items have reached that. In other words, once figs are collected together and pressed into cakes, you can't eat from them until you tithe. So these figs that became dispersed had already reached their gemar melocha. Likewise, wine that has been put into its barrels is also an example of something that reached its gemar melocha from Isris for tithing, and the Torah does not entitle workers to eat from that. Vimlo hodion, if the owner did not inform them of these facts regarding the date, the figs, that they were had already been pressed into cakes and became dispersed, or the barrels of wine had already once been sealed. And if the workers weren't informed of that, so they came to work on produce that they thought they would still be able to eat from. So if that's the case, if the owner didn't inform them, me'aser u'machilon, the owner has to see to it that the food items are tithed, and the workers will then eat from it. Ve'iyamris mishel shamayim hu'ochel, if the eating of workers is classified as mishel shamayim, amay ma'asir u'machilon, why does the owner have to concern himself with tithing before the workers start eating? Isura lo zochi lehu rachmona, the Torah doesn't grant the worker something that's forbidden for him to eat from. V'chiteima hochanami mishum demechsi kemekachtos. If you try to argue over here, like we said before, in the case of the Netta Ravai, it would appear as a mekachtos, as a mistaken contractual agreement from the outset. In other words, the workers thought one thing, and it turns out to be something else. And had they known that something else, they wouldn't have worked in the first place. But here they came to work so as to avoid the mekachtos, the mistaken contractual situation. The owner has to take preventive measures and tithe. So that idea of the workers having been mistaken, bishlamo nisparsu igulov mechsi kemekachtois. There, it appears as what could have been misconstrued on the part of the workers. Namely, they thought that they were coming for an initial fig pressing. And as such, while they were working on the figs, it had not reached gemar melacha for maisris. And they thought they were legitimately entitled to eat from the figs that they were doing an initial pressing on. Ela, but the other case, nispatchu chaviyos of my mekavtos ika, barrels that their seal had broken, or their lids had been opened, and they were hired to reseal the barrels. Where is there an element of mekachtos? Meida yoda, the worker knows, the itbil luhu lamaiser, that the wine that was in barrels, they were hired merely to reseal barrels. But they knew that the wine, itbil is from the word tevel, that the wine they were working on was already tevel. The wine barrels that they were working on already reached a stage where they had to, where the tithe, the maestros had to be removed beforehand. As Rashi says, made the other day itbil a maestro. Rashi that I'm looking at is just a few lines down from here, and he says, the mishiorad labor have a yayin la maestro. Once the wine starts flowing from the press into the pit containing the flow of wine from the press, at that early stage it already becomes obligated in being tithed. These workers were brought on the scene after that. So where is there any element of mekachtos, of some kind of misunderstanding on the part of the workers, where they may have thought that they were coming to work on stuff that they could have eaten from without tithing? So that the merci kemekachtos explanation doesn't have any relevance over here. And we needed that explanation to justify the Michel Shomayim approach. So at this point, you notice, by the way, that the number 8 long marking ends, and therefore it would appear that it's Michelo Huochel. from the fact that the owner has to tend to the tithing before they can eat from it. It's indicative of Mishelahu Ochel. As we said before, if it were Mishel Shamayim, then the owner wouldn't have to worry about tithing it. The Torah doesn't entitle the worker to eat from that which is forbidden. Omar Rav Sheshes. Now, we're continuing in our discussion, but we have a new marking scheme that sets in. And on the side of the Gemara, the triangle is explained as a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track. With the point facing up, we're going to try to advance the idea that with the regard to the wine case where they were hired to seal barrels, there was room to think on the part of the workers that they were entitled to consume, to drink from the wine, being that it had not reached the Meiser stage. V'adayin yeshev shirut lomar d'mishel shamayim, and as with that in mind, because of the mekachtos element, it could be that it's Mishel Shemayim, that even though the Torah wouldn't entitle them to eat from Isur, but since there's an impression of a mekachtos, of a mistaken contractual agreement that would arise, we want the owner to take the preventive measure, or the evasive measure of tithing on behalf of the workers to entitle them to eat. So now we have to focus. Let's get our minds really focused onto this point of the wine workers hired to seal barrels. There was room for them to think that it had not yet been chayav in Meiser. Omar Rav Sheshes, shenispatchu chav Yosef Labor. The wine barrels opened and the wine flowed out of those barrels into a pit. Rashi says, "Sheniftechu chav Yosef lebor, shenishbechu lebor." The barrels spilled into a pit. Now workers are hired. They come and what do they see? They see wine in a pit. Usvurim hoyu shelo hotziuhu misham mishiyorad minagas letocho. That the wine had not been removed from the pit into barrels. So they were thinking that it's still at a stage where Maestris had not become obligatory. The Gemara says, but even so, V'hatanya, but have we not learned Yayin Mishiyere Labor, the wine, once it descends into the pit, it's Chayav in Maestris. And they come on the scene, seeing wine in a pit, so they knew very well that they could not drink from it. So why would the owner have had to take preventive measures in tithing? There was no mekachtos. There was no misunderstanding on the part of the workers. The Gemara says, no, there could have been a misunderstanding, and that's Rabbi Akiva, based on Rabbi Akiva's approach to tithing of wine, diomar misheyikveh. The point at which wine becomes obligated in tithing is once the debris is skimmed off the top, the grape debris that floats to the top of wine in a pit. Only once that is removed. But wine in a pit per se is not yet chayav in Meiser, is not yet chayav to be tithed. The omru lay. The workers could say to the owner, Lo havu yadinan, we didn't know that it was already, that the wine you hired us to work on was already removed from, where the debris was already removed. Venema lahu, why shouldn't the owner be able to tell them, Ibaya lahu asukia daitru dilma mikpe? It should have occurred to you, that the wine that I hired you to work on was already skimmed off. Rashi says, "Ibaya lechu lasuki v'chulei mishamarti lechem sheni soicher eschem lemoshchem in abor." Once I hired you for the purpose of drawing the wine out of the pit into barrels, v'kevin delo asuk adaitchu, and since it didn't occur to you, sofer v'kopel, you were willing to you accepted the work even with that in mind, that it had been skimmed off. So we still don't see where there's an element of mekartos. These workers obviously took into consideration that it had already been skimmed off, hence already chayev in tithing. So where is there an element of mekartos? Answer, there is. Be'asra dahu gavra denogid ihu mikveh, in a town where Asra is a place where the custom in that place was the one that drew the wine out of the pit is the one that was in charge of skimming off the top. So when they were hired to draw the wine out of the pit, they were dealing with wine that had in their minds had not yet been skimmed off, had not yet reached Gemar Malachar for Maisra's purposes. So with this in mind, one can still maintain that the source above, where we had our number 8, it's not conclusive that you see Mishelo hu ochel. Rather, it's could very well Mishel Shamayim, and the reason the owner has to take these preemptive measures of tithing for them is because otherwise it would appear as a mekartos, as a contractual misunderstanding, and after all they were hired to do the job and to prevent the element of mekartos, the mistaken contractual agreement, we have to ensure that they can eat without having to tithe, and that would only be if the owner tithes from the products that in fact, unbeknownst to them, the workers, but in fact had already reached Gemar Malacha. Vehashta detoni Rav Zvid b'debei Rav Oshaya. And now that we have Rav Zvid, who had been in the yeshiva of Rav Oshaya, teaching the following Tanaic source, Yayin mishiyered lebor v'yekpeh, wine, as far as when is there the chiyuv maisris. So the Tanakama says, once wine flows into the pit and is skimmed off, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Mishiyishle Bechovios. Rashi says, Mishiyishle Bechovios, Mishinosan Bechovios, Vehu Toises, Urasichosa Eile, Umixishmorim Kaifin Lamala, the kodem shiagufu oisin b'chovios shaylin oisin resichus u'mashlichon. Chiyuv maisris does not set in until the wine is filled into the barrels. This is a later stage. If the wine is put in the barrels and debris is skimmed off from the barrels. So, when we speak above about workers being hired to seal barrels, afilu teima shelo nispatchu chovios of labor, we can suggest that the workers were hired even without the wine having spilled from the barrels into the pit, like we explained earlier. Like you saw, we have a little arrow that you can align with what we have above. We explained earlier that the basis of the worker misunderstanding is that they saw wine still in the pit. Even without that explanation, they came to work on wine still that was in barrels, hadn't spilled into the pit. And still there was room for the workers to have a misunderstanding. The omru lay, the workers can say to the owner, lo havi adinon demashli, we didn't know that the debris was removed from the barrels yet. And hence, we thought we were entitled to eat from it as something that was not gemar malacha. Of course, bear in mind, at each stage, this is the worker misunderstanding. In reality, they had already been sealed barrels, and they had reached the Meiser requirement stage, and they were hired simply to reseal barrels, but when they came, they didn't know all of that. And hence, there was still room for the Mekachos explanation, which enabled us room to say that it's Michel Shamayim, Haim Ochlin. The name Olahu, couldn't the owner say to them, Ibayaluchu Asukya Daitru Dilmu Mashli? It should have occurred to you, since you were hired to reseal barrels with wine in it, that's wine that had already been skimmed off the top, and that you had no basis for thinking that you would be entitled to eat from it. The Gemara says, no, Be'asra Dahu, the Shorik Ahu Mashli. We're dealing with a place, a community, where the practice was that the one that would seal the barrels was the one that, prior to sealing them, would have skimmed off the top, the barrels, the debris from the barrels. So that the worker thought he was going to do the Gemar Malocha, and therefore they thought that since they were hired for sealing barrels, it must be that up till now it hadn't reached Gemar Malacha, and therefore they thought they would be entitled to drink from the wine. As you can see, number 9, and here we have a volcano shape face with the narrow part facing up, so that we're in the direction of showing that it's Michel Shamayim. And by the way, you see that we have a long marking, this number 9. It takes quite a few lines to develop the point. So now let's get into the source itself. Toshma, Kitzet Adam al Yedei Atzmo, al Yedei Beno Vito Hagedolim, al Yedei Avdo Veshivchos Hagedolim, al Yedei Ishto, Bnei Shiyesh Bohen Das. This arrangement of kotzeitz is an arrangement where a person hired to work, and in this case, we're speaking not only of him being hired to work, but a man along with his wife, sons, and slaves are hired to work by an owner, and the head, we'll say the father, the worker, the head worker, so to speak, the man of the house, he makes an arrangement with the owner that instead of our eating, we want to have pay for the, well, so we'll forfeit the eating, but you will add pay instead. That's kotzeitz. Now, that arrangement can be made with regard to a man and his household, provided you're dealing with his sons and daughters that are amongst the workers that are adults, and his slaves that are adults. And the reason that is the case is because they have their own mind, and they can be moichel. They can forfeit. They being of sound mind, of adult mind, they can forfeit the food that they would have otherwise been entitled to eat. Avol. The source goes on, Eino kotzeitz, this arrangement of forfeiting food in exchange for added money cannot work. Lo al yedei beno vito aktanim. If those that are going along to work happen to be minor children, v'lo al yedei avdo v'shivchosu aktanim, or the slaves are minors, v'lo al yedei behemto, likewise, with regard to animal consumption, animals when working are entitled to eat from that which they're working on. The owner can't forfeit the animal's eating entitlement. That they shame b'hem das. They're not of sound mind to forfeit the right that they have to eat. Kos salka daitoch. We want to lay down one assumption, and that is, Bemale lohen mezoinos, where the head of the house in this source is providing the above mentioned members food. That's male lohen. He's feeding them. Now, since he is feeding them, their work efforts are his. Rashi says this very briefly toward the end of the narrow lines. B'malah hen mezoinus uschar pulosin shelo. He, being the head of the house, is entitled to their income. Since he's feeding them, he is entitled to their income. Now, e amris bishlomo mishel shamayim hu achel. If you take that approach, that worker food entitlement is something that is a grant from heaven, and it's not an extension of the worker's wages, then mishum hachi eino kotzeitz. Therefore, I understand why the father, head of this household, has no jurisdiction over his minor's food entitlement. We look in Rashi, the end of the narrow lines. Iamris Mishel Shemaim Uochel Mishum Hochi Eino Kotzitz Al Yedei Avodav Haktanim Di Ein Lepoyol Koton Zuchus Elo Kishenoisein Lesoich Piv. The minor worker doesn't have any entitlement until he puts it in his mouth, the food, until he puts the food in his mouth. And with that in mind, then I see that he, the father, head of the household, has no jurisdiction over their food entitlement. Eloi, we continue in the Gemara, Eloi Amris Mishalohu Ochel. If you say that the food entitlement is considered an extension of his wages, and you have the head of this household feeding them anyway, Kitana Nami Nekus Lahu, with regard to the minors, let him, the owner, the head of the household, also do this Ktsitsa arrangement, where forfeit their food rights, and there be increased pay. So, what do we see from here? That the fact that he's not Kitsit Hayadei Abdu Vishivchos Haktanim shows us that it must be that he has no jurisdiction over their food entitlement, and that we call that Mishel Shamayim Ho'oichel. The Gemara responds, no, this is not conclusive. Hocha b'mayaskinon, in this source where we see has no jurisdiction over their food entitlement, is because Mishen Ma'ala and Mazonos. He's not feeding them. Well, if he's not feeding them, how are they supposed to support themselves? So that's why they will continue eating from that which they are working on. And since he is not feeding them, so their income is not his to begin with. Let's continue then with a question. Ihochi, if he's not feeding them, gedolim nami, then when it comes to the adult members, he should not be able to be kitzetz either. The Gemara says we're going to stick with this construction of he's not malim mezainos, but gedolim yadi v'komachli, the adults, nevertheless, since they are adult, they have their own mindset. True, he is not feeding them, but they can forfeit their. They have the mindset of forfeiting their eating rights in exchange for the father, the head of this household, getting more money. Question: V'ha Tana Rebbe Shaya. Rebbe Shaya teaches in the following Tanaic source: Kaitse Tzodom Al Yedei Atzmo Ve'Al Yedei Ishto Avoloi Al Yedei Behemto. Now we return to yes, kotzeitz ve'al yedei beno vito hagedolim, avol lo al yedei beno vito ktanim. He can be kotzeitz with regard to his adult children food consumption, but not his minor children food consumption. The kotzeitz al yedei avdu v'shivchosu haktanim bein gedolim u'bein ketanim. Do you notice that in the source we just read, of course, if your marked Gemara is in front of you, you can see we've dashed, underlined a couple of words at the end of this source, where it said v'kaitzitz hayadei avdo v'shivchaso, and the word also ketanim. This is Roman numeral number 2. Contrast this with Roman numeral number 1 simply by sliding up in the space to the immediate left hand side of the Gemara text. You see a Roman numeral 1 above. What did the source say there? Lo al yedei avdoi v'shivchaso haktanim. No kotzeitz. Here, yes kotzeitz al yedei avdoi v'shivchaso haktanim. So how do we deal with these two sources? My love, edi v'edi. We're using a double underline to highlight the expression edi v'edi, referring to both sources. This double underline will appear again on Tzadi Gimel Amar Aleph, 4 lines from the top. So is it not so that both sources, b'male lohen mizonos, where he is providing them with food, and if you take this approach, this would be then a kasha on, or a challenge to the construction just before we saw this source, where the Gemara had said, "Hocha b'maskina b'she'ein male lohen mazaynos." Here we are saying to the contrary, where in fact he is not ma'ale lohen mazon, where he is ma'ale lohen mazonos. Notice this, the contrast in our current approach. You might want to use the little squiggled arrow that you see to the immediate side of the Gemara text. Above, we had said hocha b'mayaskino b'she'ein ma'ale lohen mazonos, and that hocha b'mayaskino is here, meaning in the Tanaic source that we labeled above as Roman numeral number 1 as Ein Ma'ale Mazonos, and here we're saying that both sources, including one as well, Ma'ale Lohen Mazonos, he is providing them with food. Ubahal Kamiflagi, and the point of disagreement between the sources is the Mor Sovar Mishalo Ochel, source number 2, where it says he can be kaitzeitz, is because he is feeding the food rights are something that are an extension of his wages, and therefore he can be kaitzeitz. Umor sovar, source number 1, Michel Shamayim hu oichel. And by saying that, we're contrasting that, or we're saying different than we said before, if you recall. Just before we started this second source, we said that it could very well be that it's that source number 1, wrote where the number Roman numeral 1 appears, might still be Mishalohu Ochel. Now we're saying regarding source number 1 that in fact it's Mishel Shamayim Ochel, and that's why he's not Kaitse. It's Al Yedei Avdo Yishivchaso Haktanim. Lo, the Gemara rejects this approach and says the Kuli Alma Mishalo Hu Ochel. Both sources agree that it's in fact Mishalo Ochel, like we said before. Svelo Kashia. Then the question is, what's the difference between the two? Kan Bishain Malamazonos, source Roman numeral number 1, where he said he's not Kaitse Tayyade Abdu Shukoswak Tanim, is because he's not feeding them. If he's not feeding them, so their work income is not his. He's not providing them with food. Ubraisa, that's source number 2, b'male lohen mazonos, by the head of the household feeding his minor slaves, he is thereby entitled to receive their income, and therefore he has control over their food rights and his kotzeitz. B'mai ukimta, how did we set up Roman numeral number 2? B'male lohen mizonos. The head of the household is providing them with food. Well, ihachi. Use the little star that you have to the immediate right-hand side of your Gemara text and align this with what you saw above. Well, ihachi, if that be the case, Kitanim Nami Nakutzlahu. Why in that source did it say Beno Ubito Haktanim? He is not kotzeitz. If he's Ma'ale Lohen Mazonos, he should be able to be kotzeitz. The Gemara answers, Tsarayu Divno Bito Haktanim Lo Zochile Rachmona. What does Tsarayu mean? It means their pain or their discomfort. Imagine you're working on food and you have a desire to eat from it, and comes along the circumstances and as a result you cannot eat from it. So the father, though he is male lohen mazonos, for them to be restricted from eating because he, the father, was kotzeitz, would cause them, the benobito, his son and daughter, the minors, sa'ar. And that he has no right to cause. And that's why it said in source number one, lo al yedei bito, benobito aktanim. B'may ukimto lemasnisen, how did we establish source number one? Source number one, by the way, is a Mishnah later on Daf Tzadi Gimel Amud Aleph. B'she'ein male lohen mizonos. And therefore, even though we said it's Mishalohu Ochel, lo yokutz. That's how we set up source number one. The Gemara continues at the top of Daf Tzadi Gimel Amud Aleph. Ho nicha. This explanation of lo yokutz leman de omar fits in well with the approach taken with there are two opinions, and we'll see the two presented very shortly in the Gemara with regard to what power does an owner of slaves have with regard to his heathen slaves that he has in his possession. So the source that said that the owner cannot be kotzeitz, in light of the fact that it's ein ma'alo mazon, he is not feeding them, the head of this household with his slaves, he's not feeding them. Well, that fits in well with the following: lemadomer ein harav yochol lomar leevid aseimi veini zoncha shapir. That a rav means a slave owner. A slave owner cannot dictate to his slaves, you're going to work for me and I am not going to support you. You're going to have to knock on doors to seek handouts for your own support. And this approach, this mandomar, says that a master cannot do that. Oh, a master cannot do that. Therefore, if he is not feeding them, that master has no control over their food entitlement. And therefore, he is lo kotzeitz, as it said in source number one. Said there, lo al yedei avdav shifchasu haketanim. Elo laman domar yochol rav loimar lievet asei mi veini zoncha. But according to the approach that says an owner of heathen slaves has that right that to dictate to them that you're going to work for me and I'm not going to support you, then my ikol lemeimar. Why in source Roman numeral number one did it say he cannot be kaitseitz al yedei avdo v'shifchasu haktanim? Even if the circumstances of source number one of are ein male lohen mazonos, there is this opinion that says that a master can tell his slaves, you're going to work for me and I am not going to support you. Ela, in light of this question, we go to a new approach, idi v'idi. Both sources, Roman numeral number one and Roman numeral number two, are b'she'ein male lohen mizonos. He, the owner, is not feeding them. He's not providing food. By the way, this certainly is in line with what we had explained before. We brought in the question of Hatani Rav Hoshaya, where we said that source number one, and now we're adding source number two as well, are where the master is not feeding his slaves. He's not feeding, he's not providing food in these sources. Ubaha pligi, and the point of disagreement between the sources is the Mor Sovar, source number two, holds Yachol, and an owner can tell his slaves, Asei imi v'eini zoncha. And that's why in source number two, it said, Kaitzetz hayidei avdo v'shivcha so'aknanim. The owner can do ketzitza, thereby forfeit the slave eating rights, and expect more money. And source number one, which said, Lo yalkutz eino kaltzetz, umar sover ein yachol, that a master cannot demand of his slaves, asei mi veini zonchon, if you're not supporting them, so then they have a right to eat, and you have no control over their food entitlement. The Gemara asks, Rabbi Yochanan diyamar yochol harav. Rabbi Yochanan is a first generation Amora, a very great Amora. He adopts the opinion that a master can tell his slave, asei mi veini zoncha. Now, which one of the sources is said to hold that? Well, we just explained it's the Brisa source. Generally speaking, in Gemara markings, we refer to all Tanaic literature by the term Tanaic literature. Here we must make the distinction. Brisa versus Mishnah. A Brisa has less strength, less authority than a Mishnah. We pointed out that source number one was a Mishnah on Daf Sadi Gimel, right on this Daf, you see it's coming up. And the source that Rabbi Shaya cites, Rabbi Shaya was one of the editors of Brisa literature. Which source indicated Yochel Rav Loimar Asei Mi Veini Zoncha? Well, in our most recent construction, that was the Brisa source, that was Roman number two. So if that's the case, then you have Rabbi Yochanan ruling like a Brisa over the Mishnah. And that is the question here we're asking. Let's read that in the words. Rabbi Yochanan diyamar yochol harav, that a master can say, asei imi, to his slave, you're going to work for me and I'm not going to support you. Shavik masnisin vavid kebrisa? Is he going to leave aside, abandon a Mishnah in favor of a Brisa? That's not reasonable. Ela, the kule alma mishel shomayim hu oichel. Everyone will be of the opinion that the food entitlement, in fact, is mishel shomayim. Velo motzi kotzitz. And that being the case, the worker who's entitled to eat is entitled to eat by virtue of a special heavenly grant, and not a function of an extension of workers' wages. And as a result of saying Mishel Shamayim, the father, the head of the household, is not able to be Kaitzetz. Umay Kaitzetz Dom Rabbi Shaya. But in Rabbi Shaya's source, you saw him saying Kaitzetz. Mizonos. Now this needs quite a bit of explanation. So before we go any further, we take a look at the Rashi. First Rashi, third line from the top. Mishel Shamayim Oichav, Afilu Ma'alei Mezoinus. Since we classify food allocation to workers as Mishel Shamayim, even if the head of the household is feeding his household members with his own food, before they go to work or while they're working, lo motzi kayetz aktanim, that father or head of household cannot be kaitzetz with regard to the minors. But what about in Rav Hoshaya's source? We saw that he could be kaitzetz ayidei avdo v'shivchoso haktanim. So Rashi continues. Umay kaitzetz to Rabbi Shaya mizonos sheyitein lohem mizonos meikora harbe shelo yuchlu lecho min hanovim. The the owner of the slave, the minor slaves, will give them a lot of food at the outset so that they do not eat from the grapes. Well, if that's what it is talking about, then gabi behemto, with regard to an animal that's eating, that's working on the produce, teven nakutz la. Why in the source did it say lo al yedei behemto? He cannot be kotzeitz with regard to the behema. If the meaning of kotzeitz simply means providing a lot of, we'll say, cheap food before the animal goes to work on the more expensive grains. In other words, let the animal be fed a lot of straw before it goes to thresh grains, which are more expensive. Why does the source of Rav Hoshaya say he cannot do that? Hello, the hall cometh. Therefore, we have to come up with a new explanation of the two sources. The Mor Sovar Mishelo Ochel, source number two. And by the way, this approach is like what we had as our first diamond, that source number two holds Mishelo Ochel, and therefore you saw the owner being able to be Kotzeitz, and Umor Sovar Mishel Shomayim Hu Ochel, and source number one holds Mishel Shomayim, and therefore the food allocation is not in under his jurisdiction, and therefore it said Eino Kotzeitz. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.